Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you back to another edition of our Anchored in the Word morning reflection. And this is episode 27. We are looking at Psalm 28. And yesterday we looked at an introduction to the 28th Psalm. Today I'd like us to begin looking at some of the details of the Psalm. We're just going to read the first two verses because that's going to be the focus of our attention this morning. Psalm 28 verse 1 says this. It's a Psalm of David. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications, when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. And actually, I'm going to add verse 3 again, 3 as well, because I think it's important to what we're going to be saying. He says, draw me not away with the wicked, and with the workers of iniquity which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Now, if you can remember yesterday when we were talking about Psalm 28, we kind of began with some introductory thoughts about how God deals with nations. And we saw that God does deal with nations as they go through cycles when nations become very corrupt. God has to limit evil. God has to judge peoples, and that's something that he does. We also talked about very important detail that God has a very measured justice. And God has his people in lands all over the world. I think of some of the darkest moments in human history, civilized, you know, certain cultures, certain nations where they were oppressed and there was a lot of evil running rampant. We think about how the church was persecuted and how God, he preserved his remnant in those very, very dark places. And when we study church history, we read a lot of stories about that. Keep that in your mind as we're getting into this passage, because what we're going to look at this morning is that David is finding himself in a very difficult dilemma. Notice he says, unto you I cry. And David is obviously in a difficult place. So what I want us to do is I want us to kind of look at why, what the factors were to why David was in a tough place, and help us to understand the psalm a little bit better. So here's the first factor that I think is pressing on David, and that is that he is feeling pressure. He says, unto thee I will cry. He says in verse number 3, draw me not away with the wicked. What does that tell you? It tells you that David is feeling pressure. He is concerned that he is going to get caught up in some kind of terrible series of circumstances. And by the way, David could have prayed this at all different times in his life. There were times that David was running for his life, whether it was from Saul, whether he was fighting the Philistines. There were many times in his life that he felt these kinds of pressures. The second thing that I'm going to mention is that David felt an incredible weight of vulnerability. He says it this way. He says, if thou be silent to me, I will become like those who go down into the pit. David is basically saying, God, you are my only hope. I'm crying out to you because if you do not deliver me, if you don't listen to me and what I'm saying and actually act on my behalf, I'm going to end up dead. I'm going to end up dead because I don't have the ability to protect myself. I'm a vulnerable person in the circumstances that are going on. Here's a third factor that's important to understand. And this gives us a little bit more insight into why David feels the way that he does. And that is that he understands God's justice. Notice how he puts it. He says, draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity. David understands that God is just, and David is living amongst a group of people that he knows are thoroughly corrupted. And David believes that if God is just and these people are living thoroughly corrupted lives, then I need to assume that God is going to judge them. And so the question is, well, why is David worried about this? It's because David understands the implications of what happens when God has to move in justice. God can remove the restraints on a group of people that are protecting them and that are keeping them from terrible difficulties. And when God removes those restraints, guess what? terrible things can happen. Let me give you some examples and kind of explain why David felt this. What happens when there is a war? Okay. And I understand that the reason that wars happen is because tensions develop between cultures. The question is, does God have the ability to stop all wars? Well, if he removed all sinful people from the world, I guess he could do that. But the fact is that really what God does is he allows things to play out sometimes. Well, what happens when there's a war? Lots of people die. Lots of people experience hardship. In fact, when we talk about the people that die in a war, the first group of people that die in a war are not the weak. They're the strong. They're the people that get sent out into the battle. The people that go and fight to defend their people, their nation, they are going to be the young, strong, vibrant, well-trained people. The people that face this hardship first will be some of your strongest and some of your brightest people. But then as a war carries on, and especially when it comes on to our own homeland, the people that begin to suffer are not just the strong who are in the midst of the battle, but they're the weak. And they're the vulnerable who get caught up in civilian casualties. Whenever there's a war, people die and people suffer. And by the way, it's not just the ungodly who suffer. It's also the godly. It's people who love Christ. It's people who get caught up in the midst of that too. And so what is happening is David's saying, I don't want, in the midst of these terrible things that can unfold, I don't want to be caught up in that. Another example, famine and pestilence. Think about what happens when a famine breaks out. And by the way, this isn't something that we seem to experience in our culture very much. We have had tremendous advancements in science and agriculture and all those things. But let's be honest, throughout most of human history, people have really suffered from famine and pestilence. Think about what's gone on with this whole COVID situation, how it's affected the entire world. And one of the things that I think is very obvious is that, you know what, if people are going to get sick, there's nothing you can do to stop it from happening. Masking isn't going to keep you from getting sick. Staying in your house for the rest of your life isn't going to keep you from getting sick. The fact is that when famine hits or when pestilence hits, it terrorizes everybody. The rich, the poor, the weak, the strong, nobody is immune to hardship in such situations. What about when you have oppressive leadership? People can terrorize everybody under them. They can abuse the people that are under their authority. They can take advantage of them for their own advantage and their own prospering. And this happens throughout all kinds of different times in human history. What happens when you have weak leaders? You could have strong, oppressive leaders who abuse people. You could have weak leaders who basically allow violent people to terrorize and control vulnerable people. What about economic hardships? What happens in those situations? Well, life becomes difficult for everybody. Everybody suffers. You work hard and you don't have much to show for it. What's the point? The point is in these situations, everybody suffers. Rich, poor, strong, weak, the godly, and the ungodly. I think about the nation of Israel during the time of Elijah and Elisha. Elijah and Elisha were affected by the terrible famines. What did God do? He preserved their lives, but they still suffered with the people. You say, well, why do you bring all this up? The reason I bring this up is to say this. When God has to humble a group of people, he has all kinds of tools at his disposal. He may allow them to face hardship through war, through famine, through pestilence. He may allow them to have oppressive leaders or very weak leaders or go through economic hardships. And in all these situations, you know what God is doing? God is humbling the arrogant. He is judging the wicked. But sometimes the righteous suffer as well. And so you know what David is doing? David is saying, God, if you choose to allow such circumstances, I plead with you, preserve me, protect me. In the midst of the hardship, don't let my fate be like the fate of the wicked. That's what David is saying. So David is facing this dilemma where he recognizes God is just. The people around me are not living in a godly manner. They deserve God's wrath and justice. And I don't want to get caught up in all of that. you know, it may be that as you think about what's going on in our own culture, you go, man, America is a land under judgment, or a land that deserves God's judgment. And when I think about some of the horrific things going on in our society today that are being championed as good, that are truly evil, sometimes I go, God, why do you spare? Why are you so patient with us as a people? Then I should ask myself the question, do I really want to see my nation face this hardship? Because I will have to experience hardship as well. That's where the psalmist did. But I have good news for you. The good news for you is this. When God judges, he's always measured in his justice. And that's really what we're going to get into in this psalm. We're going to see that God is not irrational and just flying off the handle. And just, he is controlled. He is measured. He is patient. He is righteous. He does things the right way. God will perform his justice in a righteous and measured manner. And so that is a great comfort to us. And as we get into this psalm, we're going to see that, you know what? David comes to recognize that, yes, I feel this dilemma and this pressure, but I can rest in God because I know he is going to do what is right. I want to remind you of that simple truth this morning. God will do what's right. No matter what we face, no matter what hardships, God will do right. And we can trust him in the midst of them. Hope you have a good rest of your day. Thanks for taking some time to listen to this this episode. And Lord willing, tomorrow we'll be back for episode number 29. Bye now.